Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Today is a very special broadcast indeed, with quite a number of guests will be coming on throughout the day. I guess the head honcho of this pack of incredible people is Lorianne Fenton. Lorianne, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Vinny. I really appreciate you having us on the show today. I'm here to talk about the Super Soldier Summit coming up in Henderson, Nevada on May 17th, 18th, and 19th. And it's going to be 2.5 days of packed information. I don't even know how to describe it to you because it's just crazy. I mean, we have super soldiers. We've got mind control. We've got people who are hearing voice-to-skull communication. We've got people that are controlled by artificial intelligence. We've got people driving from Georgia that swear that there's Navy SEALs that sit behind a computer desk and beam thoughts into their head. I mean, we've got all kinds of stuff going on here. And you know what, Vinny? I've been dealing with this for a while now. And I got to tell you, a year and a half ago, if you had told me that I would be putting on a super soldier mind control conference, I would have told you, no way. There's no way. I didn't even believe in any of this stuff. And then I had my experience, which I think I'd like to tell the audience a little bit about to start kick this off today, if we could. And then also, in having said that, the most important thing people need to realize is that these people are not crazy. I don't care what anybody says. They are not crazy. These things are happening to them. And whether it's happening in the way that they're describing it is up for, you know, grabs. Because we're all still trying to find out what it is that they're actually doing to these people. But even if 1% or 5% of it's true, that's still way too much for me, because that means the government is still conducting these mind control experiments that they swear they stopped back in the 60s and the 70s. So, and we have proof that they've continued this, as you know, Vinny. So go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, what occurs to me is this, you know, you're talking about how these people aren't crazy. Well, I would act under the assumption that truth in itself is usually the craziest thing. And so, therefore, if you're telling the truth, you will appear crazy. Whether or not you are is a different story. And sometimes revealing great truth to you and that kind of thing can, in fact, drive you nuts. And I was just thinking while you're saying this about all these different topics that we're going to be covering today, And you know what it made me think of? Made me think of Mel Gibson in the movie Conspiracy Theory. How he's talking about all these crazy things going on or whatever, and then it turns out they're all real.
Exactly. You know, that is one of my favorite movies, and it's so funny because after I had my experience, I thought about that movie and I thought, oh my God, it's so true. All these things are so true, and they do happen to people. And I have four women today that are actually coming on besides myself. It's the women's show today, Vinny. And they're going to tell about all their different, completely different experiences around this. And I will be the first to say that I don't understand a lot of this. And these women all have different pieces to the puzzle. Misha Johnston has had an experience that is quite different from Niara Isley's experience, and both of their experiences are very different than Alara Blackwell's or Melinda Leslie's experience. Some deal with aliens, some deal with military, some deal with people they've never seen or have ever met in person, that they're just electronic communication. So, you know, it's really hard to tell what's really going on here. So I believe it involves all of it. I also believe, and you're going to laugh at me when I say this, Vinny, the time traveler dudes like Andy Bishago and Alfred Weber and Laura Eisenhower, I think they're a part of it. And I believe that the aliens, if they do exist, the reptilians and the grays are also part of it as well. And I think this is all connected, but, you know, we've yet to see. I think in the next 5 years, we're going to figure this all out. And I think there's going to be some very amazing discoveries as far as how the government has been involved with these critters, as I call them, over the years. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so we have a lot of people to get through today, so let's not waste our time. And we also have a caller on the line, so let me just see if I can get this in order. I'm suffering from major sleep deprivation at the moment. So firstly, we'll go to this caller and see who it is. You're in a 310 area code. What's your business? Hello?
Well, this is Melinda. I'm one of your guests.
Hello, Melinda. How are you today?
Thank you for All having right. me.
Well, how about we start with you then, Melinda? Why don't you tell us a little bit about your experiences?
All right. Well, I am a lifetime abductee in the classic sense, meaning alien experiences. And I have been doing research into what's known probably amongst your listeners and certainly those attending the conference as MILABS or MILABS, which is an acronym for military abduction, which has come to mean many things, but in my research, most specifically, and I can also talk to some of the other things it's come to mean, but in my research, it refers to people who've had alien abduction who then also have covert military involvement, harassment, surveillance, re-abduction of their experience, and other subsequent activity involving either covert ops or the military. And I'm sure by the time this show is over with, I can speak quite a bit to how I think that has it's the information they're getting from the abductees has everything to do with the whole idea of super soldiers, because it's what they're learning from the abductees. That they are using that information to train and create people who can interact with ETs, and even more important, the ETs themselves is with the technology. So they're creating people who can interact regularly with ET technology, and that's part of the whole development of super soldiers is from that. So I'm thrilled to be an upcoming speaker at this conference, because I'm always talking to a UFO crowd, to a UFO conference, to MUFON groups, this kind of thing, about how my research is really strong evidence in support of alien abduction, and also how it's really strong evidence in support of there being a policy of non-disclosure, in other words, a continued cover-up of the whole UFO subject, mostly because of the importance of the technology and the fact that developing the technology and those black budgets, and everybody kind of you know, doing a CYA, you know, covering their own and wanting to protect their projects. But I love the fact that I can take my information now, fully extend it out and saying, okay, we know all that. Yeah, okay, there's a cover-up. It has everything to do with that. It has everything to do with abductions. But what it really has to do with is, what are they doing with the information? And what they're doing with the information they're learning from us abductees, from the people with these experiences, I believe what they're doing with it is both they're developing technology, and you guys, I'm sorry, I'm on a radio interview. Feel free to pick up a flyer right here if you want. These people just walked in. That was perfect timing, though, you guys. I'll explain that in a minute. But as I was saying, it's really great to be able to take it to what are they doing with the information. I think that's where these roads cross. It's exactly what they're doing with this information.
All right. I got a joke there about abduction. I'm not sure if you can joke about abduction, but, you know, do they use abduct tape?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear you. If you can ask me that one more time.
I was just wondering, when these abductions happen, do they use a lot of abduct tape?
Oh.
I think we had to coin that one. I think we had to.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. That was one I thought heard. That was very good.
Apparently it works on everything.
they might.
Some
people have been restrained, so maybe that is using abduct tape at sometimes, maybe.
Yeah. All right, well, let's go into our other guests as well. We've got Misha Johnston. Are you there?
Vinny, Misha? I think we lost Misha. And they've been trying to get her back, but it looks like she's non-available. So we'll probably have to go to Niara.
Yeah, Niara.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Great.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, about me. I grew up with aspirations to just get married and have a couple of children and live in a beautiful place in nature. It's not how it turned out. where do I start? I went into the military because my dad raised me to be a patriot. And went through my tour of duty. I was stationed at Nellis Air Force Base and worked at Tonopah and Tulitcha Peak electronic warfare ranges. And it was kind of a turbulent time back there. Back then I was a single mom and, you know, trying to deal with stuff. And I didn't remember... about 10 years after getting out of the military, I realized through a conversation with a friend that I didn't remember anything about working at Tonopah. And that really concerned me. I had a wave of nausea come up with the realization that I couldn't remember. And
what is that going on in the background? Is there something printing out?
Yeah, maybe somebody that has noise in the background could mute their microphone.
Yeah, that'd be a smooth move.
Yeah. So, anyway, I discovered that I couldn't remember anything about working at Tonopah, not even the most minute details, you know, just insignificant things. You know, I couldn't remember people that I worked with. I couldn't remember anything. And, so I remember having a wave of nausea as I realized that I couldn't remember. And then later on, just about a year later, maybe a little more, a little less, I had hypnosis with Bud Hopkins at the Whole Life Expo in Las Vegas, Nevada. That just kind of, you know, blew everything open for me, and I realized that something had happened to me when I was working at Tonopah. The Tonopah and Tulitcha Peak electronic warfare ranges, or electronic combat ranges as they were known later on, are both situated within the Nevada test site, as is Area 51. also called Dreamland, also called The Ranch, probably a few other names. And I hear that the people that work there don't call it Area 51. So, for whatever that's worth. Anyway, I discovered that I'd been taken out in the middle of the night to test radar on UFOs. And then I was worked over with what I've come to know as trauma-based mind control. Not really to become a super soldier. I wasn't programmed or abused or traumatized in that way. But I was traumatized to the degree that I forgot everything that I saw. And it's caused me to really do an in-depth study of trauma-based mind control, what it is, you know, how they try to suppress memories actually by using our own defense mechanism against us. Because when the human brain is, or when the human mind is presented with a trauma that is so overwhelming to the ego that it can't process it, it actually breaks off that experience and sticks it in the subconscious so that it can sit there and wait until you can handle it to come out to your conscious mind again. So ready or not, I had hypnosis with Bud Hopkins, and I got memories back, and I've been dealing with the emotional fallout for many years, and I'm in pretty darn good shape today, but I still have moments where I have post-traumatic stress, you know, like PTSD. And but it's less and less, and I'm really working hard on learning some skills for trauma recovery, because I know all the years that I had PTSD and I didn't know who to turn to for help because the trauma was so far outside normal mainstream understanding that I didn't know who to go to. I couldn't go to just a regular therapist who had no knowledge of this kind of thing. They would, you know, I was afraid they'd lock me up, you know, for fantasizing something. And so I just had PTSD and tried to manage it on my own for years. And it's not fun. It really isolates you. It sets you outside the rest of humanity, and you're just kind of alone, you know. So because of all that and going through that and how difficult it was, I'm trying to learn some trauma recovery techniques that are fairly streamlined that I can offer to other people like myself who have been traumatized and want to release the trauma and
Well, we're coming to break. Hopefully that's not too traumatic. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand, the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland in this little island change nation. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which according to the Prime Minister is good for the economy because now everybody can snap up a part-time job to make up for the shortfall, which he caused by getting us under croakiest quantities of debt. All right. So, we're running through the list here. We still have people to introduce. This is like the most people we've ever had on the show. I don't know how the dynamic's going to work. I'm pretty sure it will be quite dynamic, though. All right, now, next person to introduce, the person who was cutting off before, Misha Johnston. Welcome.
Hello, and thank you so much for having me today.
Thank goodness it works. Well,
okay.
Would you like to explain what you're about?
Well, okay. Well, I'm the oldest of the group that I know of so far. My experiences started back as a child. I mean, I was from a family I've now found out that was a mind control family. Situations where they set up a family and basically do a lot of using of them. So I'm going to skip forward to the first time. I really don't want to go into at this point. My father and his part in it, but needless to say, he was my trainer. But in 1967, I had the first military alien abduction. Before that, as a child, at three, I started having experience from ETs, and so it continued on. And then in 1967, I had an experience that I remembered very vividly of an ET experience. But then afterwards, I had an experience that was very dark and you know, it had sexual connotations. It was really a really negative experience. And when I I've done several regressions on that particular area, and I found out that that was the first recollection in my puberty that I remembered having military and the alien. Then, you know, kind of fast forward to 1968, and I was supposedly, I met this man at a college that I really wasn't even attending, except that I now found out that I joined a group. You get paid for, you know, doing their research projects and such. And so in 68, I ended up getting married to this Navy Marine corpsman that I have no idea. Don't remember him. Don't remember the wedding. Found out that that's, I guess, pretty much the first time that any kind of altar did come out. That's why I don't remember the wedding, because an altar was the one that went through the wedding. So they accessed me. That was it. Basically, I found out his job was to legally get women, I should say, to, and this ended up, I was in Seattle, and it was white slavery, some really ugly ritualistic abuse stuff and things like that. Then I got out of that by him they released me and sent me home on a bus, and him saying in my mind this story that I had been sick for 7 months, and that's why I didn't remember any of it, that I'd had what they call encephalitis, a brain disease, which I double checked and I couldn't have had it. I'm not a baby. So then in 68, I was re-accessed once more, and this time they took me to San Francisco. Several things happened there. You know, if you want questions later, anything like that, I'll be glad to answer them. It's a very long story because that goes the length of my life, basically. But then I was working with Melinda back in 1999 and 2000 to research a book for my labs and the surveillance of the, you know, the black ops and all of that. And they seemed to come really hard on me and heavy on me. And after three automobile accidents in a short while, what else? A couple of other things. I had a rapist stalker after me. I had another situation. I had a crazy tweaker guy that they sent in as my roommate, and he was, you know. So I'm not sure that was one of them, but you know, you start wondering. Everything's so strange.
Oh, so always have to worry about tweakers. You know, you're just walking through the city and you see them dart into alleys like.
right. And but he got me to end up being basically homeless because I had to move out overnight or end up being dead by his tweaker friend. So anyway, during this time, I'm having threats. I'm having calls. I'm getting calls where all I hear is a sound, a tone, a noise. I get broken into my conversations that they're going to, you know, shut me up. And I had an encounter with a man that I was supposed to re-interview him for the information on the My Lab book, and he ended up being a really dangerous black ops fellow who said, you know, basically, we'll kill your family, and they won't find their bodies in the desert if you don't shut up. So I got out of it in 2000, into 2000, beginning of 2001, and then got back into the groups that I now facilitate here in Vegas back in 2010. And so I have some MK Ultra groups that I facilitate on UVU now. So okay. That's kind of it.
All right. And who else have we got left that we haven't introduced yet? Alara. Alara, are you there? Scrambling for the unmute button, perhaps? Nope.
Looks okay, like then. She's having mic problems, Vinny. So, yeah. Let's see. Well, you know what we could do? We could go back to Alara in a minute, and I could tell my story about how I got into this, if that's okay.
That's right. We have yet to do that.
Yeah. Well, mine's pretty simple. Back in September of 2011, I was putting on UFO conferences and representing people in my publishing company that are UFO authors, Bigfoot authors, you know, anything kind of fringe. I was starting to represent these people because that's what I do for a living in the real world. And I also put on conferences and art events for the last 30 years in the real world. So I just started putting on UFO conferences. Anyhow, so I went to Awake and Aware in Project Camelot's Awake and Aware, September 22nd, 23rd, 2011, and I'm sitting there, and Duncan O'Finian and his girlfriend, Axe, her real name is Miranda, I believe, are on stage Friday night, and they're talking about their experiences as super soldiers. And Miranda says this amazing thing. She says, "I have been hearing screaming in the back of my head most of my life, and I just about fell off my chair, and I'm looking around the room to see how many other people are falling off their chairs, and nobody else is, you know, even registering that she just said this. And I had been hearing screaming in the back of my head since I was in my 20s. I noticed it when I was trying to meditate, and so I stopped meditating because I didn't like the sensation. When I was in my 30s, it was still there. I noticed it quite a bit when I'd fall asleep and wake up. That's when I'd hear it. But it was so distant, and you know, it wasn't bothering me all the time, but it was enough that I knew it was there. And I thought, here, when I was a baby, I ate rat poisoning, and they had, in the hospital, they had taken sandbags, little sandbags, to pin me down so I wouldn't move during this rat poisoning episode, because apparently, if you move around a lot, the it's gross, but you die because your red corpuscles explode. So they didn't want me moving, so they had done this. So I always attributed this, and I went to a therapist about it. I said, you know, is this screaming me as a baby trying to move and these people doing weird things to me? She goes, more than likely it is. When I was in my 40s, I realized the voice was of an older me. If it was me, it wasn't me as a baby screaming. It was me as an, more like a teenager adult screaming. And so anyhow, I this had been in the back of my head, and you know, something I didn't deal with on a daily basis at all. Hadn't thought about for years. And I'm sitting there in this conference, and this woman says that she has this too. And I really freaked out. I had a moment of like, ooh, I wonder what's going on here. So because I had my whole life tried to put this off as something that happened as a baby. So there I am. I'm sitting there, and I got very scared. I don't even know how to explain it to any, but I got really frightened. I knew that something was going to shake loose. You know how you just have that knowing that something's going to happen to you? So so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, And my friend that I went to the conference with says, oh, we have to talk to them. We've got to talk to Miranda and Duncan. And I'm like, I don't know. Previous to this, I had told everybody I was thinking about putting on a conference for the super soldiers. I could not figure out in that moment when I got to the conference why they didn't have their own conference. You know, very naively, I had mentioned to my friends, oh, I should put on a conference for these guys. They really deserve it. You know, here I am, crazy me, like, oh, yeah, la-di-da, right? So then this happens on Friday night. Okay, go to Saturday. Saturday night, we're were trying to leave, and I'm still having a very frightened feeling in the pit of my stomach going, I'm not sure I'm doing the right thing with this, right? And my girlfriend keeps saying, we got to talk to Duncan, we got to talk to Duncan. I'm like, okay. And I thought, well, we'll talk to him Sunday. So I'm trying to escape the building and go out by the back exit door around the trash cans to get to my car to avoid everybody. But who's standing right there but Duncan and Miranda? So my girlfriend runs up to them. She started talking to Duncan. And so I, you know, saunter over to Miranda and I say, hey, what's this thing about the screaming in your head? She goes, why do you ask? And I say, because I've got it too. And she goes, oh, you got to ask yourself two things. Do I really want to know? And if I did find out, do I really want to know the answer? You know? And I'm like, I don't think I want to know. She goes, that's probably the right answer. And I said, good. So, you know, at that moment, it's very interesting, Vinny. You have to make that decision. If you're one of these people that's caught up in these programs, you have to decide that that is the past. You have to get through the emotions of it and say that's the past and everything is different from this point forward. And that is really the key, I think, to escaping their programming. Because if you fall into this loop of, oh, poor, pitiful me, and relive it and relive it and relive it, which is what they want you to do, you will never be free from it. So that is one of the things I found out in that moment. So go on to the next day. I'm talking to Bill Ryan of Project Camelot, and he's with a young gentleman that I thought was like 20 years old. Turns out he's more in his 30s, and it turns out to be James Rink. And James says to me, I heard you're putting on a super soldier conference, and I'm a super soldier. And I went, oh, cool, I want to talk to you. So I said, come to my table. He comes to my table later on in the evening. He's with another gentleman. This gentleman, I look up from the table, and Vinny, the first words out of my mouth are, oh my God, I know you. And he doesn't really recognize me, but I recognized him. And it was a, you know, again, a deep knowing sensation of like, wow, you know. So we all went to dinner that night. They told me a whole bunch of things about super soldiers. And in that moment, I realized I'd gotten in way over my head about announcing that I'd helped them all out. But being me, and I'm a very, you know, I'm a strong, bullheaded person. And when I say I'm going to do something, I follow through. So I promised them I'd do that. And now here's where it really gets weird. The next morning I wake up, and as I'm waking up, I have a full-blown recall of having been with this gentleman named Max Spears, who's the guy we went to dinner with that I said, I recognize you. A full-blown recall of an incident that happened, and I can't talk about it because it's highly sexual and highly bizarre. And but I'm telling you, it's either real or they beamed a whole movie in my head. Because it was so full-blown unreal, I couldn't believe it. And when I came out of it, I cried for about 4 hours and really got myself together. Now, you got to remember something. When they mess with you like this, they're messing with your hormones, the chemicals in your body, the chemicals in your brain, and they had me convinced that we'd had a relationship. So now I wake up, and here's the other kicker. I'm about 17 in this relationship, in the full-blown-on memory or recall or whatever you want to call it, and Max is like 22. In this reality, I'm 55 and he's 35. So, and, you know, and of course I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, you know, this is so bizarre. How can this be? Now, I'm not saying this couldn't have been a past life. But if it was, why did we look the same and why are we, you know, remembering things that should be happening in this timeline? So I'm a little confused about the whole thing. I still haven't really addressed it at all. I am well over what happened to me. It took me 3 months, though, to be able to talk to Max again.
All right. Well, Laurie, we'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. And welcome back. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand. You know, you got to love this country. It's full of scumbags that work for the World Bank and wind up becoming in charge of everything. I wonder if there's super soldier programs and things like that going on in New Zealand. That'd be very interesting. You guys ever hear about anything happening in other countries, or is it mostly just the Operation Paperclip Nazi scientists that came over to the United States that sort of set up all these programs? I wonder.
It happens in other countries.
Okay. Question asked, answer given. Now, the other person who we have not yet heard from is Alara. Is it working now?
Yes, I should be good.
Okay, excellent. So, Alara, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I don't know. I don't know where to start. I guess 2010, I recovered memories of being a part of military black ops programs, something that I was indoctrinated into as a child and probably even set up from my birth, which I've been doing research in lately. I came out with my information about a year ago and got thrown into the conspiracy theory pool, straight into the deep end, in a field that I had no interest in whatsoever until I realized I was right smack in the middle of it, and have had to deal with the consequences since. It's not an easy field to play in, especially dealing with super soldiers and mind control, just because it is so confusing, convoluted, disturbing, and there's a lot of different people coming out with information that makes things a little bit hard to wade through. And I had to really come to terms that I had to deal with my own personal truth about what happened to me and what's been going on, and still seeking the answers without getting discouraged, because apparently there's an entire campaign I didn't even realize about people talking about me. I had no idea. And I almost stopped talking about this completely and actually didn't decide to keep talking about what happened to me in these projects until February of this year. Again, I took about 6 months off just not talking about it. A little bit about what I was involved in. From what I remember, I was a part of a couple of projects. One involved remote viewing for our government. I was programmed using harmonics and different sounds. I have a very huge aversion to anything electricity, so I'm pretty sure there was some sort of shock therapy involved. Of course, drugs and deep-seated hypnotic sessions. So, I do have memories of remote viewing different countries, politicians, political meetings that I was repeating back to whoever I was talking to, I guess you can call my handler, learning how to do different things to influence people remotely, be it their emotions, their ideas. When I saw the movie Inception, I was kind of like taken aback a little bit, because it was a lot kind of like that, where you implant these hypnotic suggestions into people, but then they think it's their own idea. So I was kind of, I thought it was an interesting movie, but I was kind of hit close to home in that. And I was also part of a project where I was merging with perhaps super soldiers or highly trained individuals to give them remote information about whatever battlefield or operation they were on, breaking into places. But that would require me to be out of body in an out of body remote viewing, and then merging with that person so I could send them the information about where to go, what the whole place looked like, acting as like a second consciousness to them. And a lot of this was done, I would be able to pick them up because they had some sort of chemical in the cerebral spinal fluid, or maybe even nanites, since somebody brought that up recently in conversation. I'm not really sure. They just looked like a glowing light stick to me, like when I looked in that out-of-body perception. So I've been trying to piece together a lot of this still and coming up with some very interesting things as I continue to find out what's been going on and speak up about this and see if anybody else. I have not met anyone that I've worked with yet, though I do recognize different programs and artificial intelligences within other people. So I'm very good as a receiver in that way.
Right. Okay. Well, that has managed to organize everybody and get them onto this. So let's run through the list. This is like the Avengers, you know.
Got the yes, it is, isn't it, Vinny? I love it.
I guess I'm the Hulk in that. In that equation, and Lorian is Captain America.
Yes, I always wanted to be Captain America. Wonder Woman would be nicer, but Captain America I'll take.
Yeah. So we've got Melinda, the abductee. We've got Lorian Fenton, the organizer of the conference, with screaming in her head that she doesn't want to look into because it's too scary.
In my head. Actually, Vinny, I got to make one before you go on here, I got to make one statement. The screaming went away when I was 53 years old. I think they removed an implant.
Was that okay? I was going to ask if that was after your divorce.
Well, those are always fun to talk about, but that's for another day. No, I think I had an implant removed, and shortly after that, I realized I wasn't hearing it when I was waking up anymore. So that was quite interesting, too. And people are going to say that's crazy, but it's all true, folks. I wouldn't make this up. I'm a very grounded individual, so this is just, this is all very true. And one other quick thing to say here, Alara is of the younger group. And you will notice that they are not as sexually abused as the older group of super soldiers, mind control people out there. It's a very interesting observation. So, folks, take notice.
Wasn't the 60s and 70s like the sexual revolution and all of that kind of stuff? Maybe.
Well, we'll have to talk to Melinda, Niara, and Misha about that because, they're more of a... I think Niara is the younger of the three, if I remember correctly, but... definitely, they were using sexual persuasion back then much more, and they were also using it as torture. So, and mind control. So, we'll talk to them more about that. But I just wanted to point that out to people. The younger people have a whole different way of being programmed. So it's very interesting.
Well, we're talking about a development in the programs that do the programming.
Exactly. They use completely different types of programming now. It's much more insidious now. They use chemicals, hormones, your own body against you. They can do electronic signatures, nanites. They have implants now that are undetectable. They're not like the old ones. Douglas Dietrich actually saw a woman in Letterman Army Hospital in San Francisco when he was in there, supposedly for an ulcer. We're still trying to figure that one out, but he saw a woman that had these chips implanted in her inner skull and wires coming out of it. And this was back in the, I'd say, late 60s, early 70s. And I know for a fact that Dr. Richard Allen Miller was doing the same kind of experiments with his partner at the University of Washington near Seattle back in the very early 70s as well. So we know that type of thing was going on where they were actually implanting these microchips under the, in the skull, into the brain, and doing research on that. So it has come a long way.
Well, they found that when you implant microchips into the brain starts to learn how to use them and interface with them on its own.
That's true. I've actually heard that from Dr. Miller and a couple of other scientists that did work in that area. It's so bizarre. The electricity, the current that runs through our body is enough to make these chips work as well. So, yeah, very crazy, I'm telling you. But now it's very different. I mean, you can talk to Alara about this a little bit more, but it's I believe it's electronic frequencies and your electronic signature, because we all have one, and they're all different, just like fingerprints.
You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of the insanity of psychiatry. So way back in the... I mean, dig this. I mean, hear me out here. Way back in the day when in the first instances of psychiatry, they're doing horrible things to people, they're dunking them into big pools of ice water inside a coffin or something like that, or they're basically just torturing them and saying that this will help you with your madness. And now, psychiatry, the basic principles haven't changed really at all. They're still just making stuff up. But now... they've got these really nice coats and all of these drugs and all of these machines and devices and things like that that make it appear a lot more humane when it's just as bad, right?
Exactly.
Is that not entirely dissimilar to what we're talking about here? Bunch of mad scientists, people messing with innocent human beings and just using all the tools of the trade as the time goes on.
Exactly, and developing finer and finer and refined tools to do it with, like pills or a vaccine that they're actually putting in you that is tagging you at like a GPS tracking system. I mean, I don't even know where to start, Vinny. I jumped into this rabbit hole, and every time I look around me as I'm falling, I see another door opening, and I see another scene of what they're doing now and how they're, you know, doing it. And the worst part is, since I am the person that is putting on the conference over the last year, I put on the first one last June, and since that time, my phone has not stopped ringing about the things that they're doing to people. And, you know, I can't believe everybody, but if I listen to what they have to say and the things that they're describing that they're using to interface with them, and I started lists, and I've got these lists, and when five people all over the United States and in the UK come around and say to me, this is what's going on to me, and they all are the same thing, then I realize there's something going on here. Because these people don't know each other. They just found me, and they're telling me a story. So,
yeah, that's true. And denial's a very powerful thing, isn't it? And most people will deny that these things are even possible or even take place. And I think that's the vast majority of society. I think they'll deny everything, even when there's evidence, even when it's repeated over and over again. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.